I knew you'd come.
Woo! Man, baby. Wanna wrestle?
We've got two words for ya!
Glorious! No, I won't give in!
Listening to Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast with your hosts, the Supreme Dream and the Irish Nightmare.
What would you like to know about The Undertaker?
Well, last week the Phenom said that you have a broken soul and that delusion would be your downfall because you've gotten corporate.
The Undertaker is worried about a suit that he has already lost. We're not going to be fighting in suits. We're not going to be fighting in a boardroom. And as far as him taking my soul, I sold that a long time ago. Anybody that is honest with themselves can feel it in the air. Been coming for a while now. When it comes to The Undertaker, the end is near.
We are back this week. This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast. That's right, more obscure and nonsensical than the new Flyers mascot. It's been a hell of a week. And,
It's been a hell of a week, Dan. Hey!
I have a cough drop stuck to the roof of my mouth, so I couldn't get that out. But that clip that you just heard, Hunter addressing The Undertaker, I feel that they're trying to get away from the Shawn Michaels thing and try and make it them again. And I don't think you can turn back what everyone's already thinking. I think everyone's looking past this match because everyone knows what's coming eventually.
I think...
Not that this isn't going to be a good match.
I think that people are starting to lose interest in it mm-hmm. already.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just the everything, all the interconnected parts of this story, I think everyone is just pretty much... Once they announced that Michaels is going to be in Triple H's corner and Kane's going to be in Undertaker's corner, and it's going to potentially lead to a match in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
But this might not be Michaels' last match, so, I mean... I think for the most part, it's been great to see them and actually bring some meaning and whatnot to a storyline. It's been great.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that now we're getting down to the, okay, now it's time to actually watch the match.
Yeah.
Who knows what we're going to see. Maybe we'll be surprised, but something tells me I don't think so. It's going to be a little bit more of like some, it's going to be back and forth punches, kicks, and then someone's going to get involved, and then that's going to be
The lead-in.
Your highlight
yeah.
of your match.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm still looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a solid match. You can't put those two in the ring and it not be a pretty good match. I know a lot of people are negative on it, like you said, but...
Just two old farts in a time of high flyers.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot better wrestling.
Yes.
So, past that subject...
It was a brief one.
Yes.
I think the actual clip itself went longer than our discussion.
It did. The next thing we want to move on is...
Sounds like someone's squeezing my nose when I talk. It sounds like this. I'm going to do the rest of the podcast like this because I'm a little under the weather.
You sound like Artie Ziff from The Simpsons. That's exactly what you sound like doing that.
Marge, my dear. Wait, that's John Lovitz.
What?
Isn't that John Lovitz?
Yeah, of course.
So that means I sound like John Lovitz?
Okay, yeah, but Artie Ziff was the face that came in mind, not John Lovitz. Anyway, now that we got our John Lovitz...
Go ahead.
No, yeah. reference, that's what the word I was looking for.
Yeah, I was going to help you.
Yeah, I know, I can
see
that.
Struggle.
Anyway, topic question time.
Ooh.
So...
Sit down, sit real tight in those seats. You're going to listen to us talk about a little... effing topic question.
Honestly, I don't know where this came from in the back of my head. It kind of came out of nowhere. Just happened to be rolling around on Twitter and seen some topics and seen some people talking about things, and just popped in my head. And basically, it's what was your first memory of wrestling that made you a fan? And I put the GIF up there of the pin by 123 Kid on Razor Ramon when he beats him on Monday Night Raw. Back the original.
Which is actually your first memory
of wrestling. It is my first memory of wrestling, yes. That match is what made me a fan. Was this little guy, and again, we talked about this a couple shows ago, about how the guys from All In, the commentators, made the event that much better. And even with this match with JR and Vince, they made X-Pac, or 123 Kid, whatever, seem that much smaller. Even though he was, but it just seemed like, oh, this would never happen. And then for him to pull out this pin and win and beat Razor Ramon, it was huge. And I'll never ever forget that match, because it just made me want to keep watching.
Yeah, it was a weird time where you had your big overpowering guys, and you didn't really see a lot of, well, on WWF's screen, you didn't really see a lot of small guys,
yeah,
especially beating their big superstars.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of like that was something new for them.
Yeah, exactly.
That was like almost like, I would say this to an extreme, but if you want to twist it around and tweak it, it's almost the lead to why you got to see guys like Rey Mysterio and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He could have paved the way and not even know it.
Yeah, sure. That's a little stretch, but yeah.
It's a big stretch. I will admit that wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Your first memory that made you become a fan? I mean, I know obviously your dad got you into it, but the first thing you can remember
was Paulie dangerously dropping the cell phone down to Rick Rude with Rick Rude versus Sting.
Okay.
That was back in
what
early 90s.
Okay. That's around the same.
That, I mean, and Abdul the Butcher popping out of they used to do the mystery box.
Mm-hmm.
This is all, again, it's either Sting's in the match or Sting's a part
all
of
involved Sting.
Of evolved.
Now, wait, aren't you proud of me that my first memory of wrestling is not Shawn Michaels? I mean, that's big.
He's waiting for him to say,
I'm just, come on, you gotta give me a little credit here. Give me a little credit here, come on.
Congratulations. Come on. You really surprised me. Congratulations. You almost knocked me off of my feet. Congratulations. You had me going again and again. Congratulations.
I needed that, thank you.
You got a fucking song out of it. You happy?
I needed that, thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
My first memories involved Sting, but the Abdul the Butcher coming out of the blowing out of the fucking box and beating the shit out of Sting, yeah, that was one of them too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that made me fall in love with it, but it was really cool.
Yeah.
And in that whole, like, holy shit, surprise factor, mm-hmm, as a kid.
Yeah, I think the Razor and Kid thing for sure, and then, for some reason, another thing that always is in my head is Superstars, Saturday Morning Superstars, and watching Vince stand in front of all the monitors, with all the monitors behind him, and recap what went on in WWF. That seems to stick out in my mind as being a kid and watching wrestling. So those two things were the first things I can actually remember. A lot of really good ones that people put in. And
well, what are they, pray tell?
You have ones that kind of date themselves. You can tell the age of a person when they say what it is. Like this one here from Bob Avery. Rock and Roll, which I would assume means Express, versus Midnight Express.
Yes.
Surfer Sting versus Ric Flair and Hulkamania.
Yeah, so he was probably
maybe a little
teenager in the 80s.
Exactly.
So he might be pushing 45-ish.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm completely wrong and you're like 27...
Yeah.
I'm just taking a wild guess.
You're just an old soul.
I'm not trying to offend you.
Yeah. Another one, Jason Broadwell just puts a GIF of the Bushwhackers, which is a good one.
You think he means the Bushwhackers, saying them?
I mean, what else could you possibly mean?
I went to meet them once at Hershey Park, and here's another childhood memory. You sit back in my chair and tell you a little story. So, I was a young child with an unenlightened mind about the real world and what it was all about. So I go to meet Tugboat, the Bushwhackers, and the headliner, which is Jake the Snake. Now,
How it all comes together when Hershey you're an adult. Park, I love this. Go ahead.
Probably circa 1992-ish. I'm probably about... Yeah, I'm about... So 91, 92. I'm about 5 or 6 years old. Mm-hmm. We go to meet Jake the Snake. Now, Jake the Snake doesn't show up. So, my mother and father, trying to protect their child of what was actually going on in the life of Sir Jake the Snake, tells me that, oh, he wasn't feeling good, too good. He had a tummy ache. He was throwing up. Oh, well, that kind of sucks. So instead of getting to meet Jake the Snake, we got Tugboat and the Bushwhackers, and I think Hacksaw was there too.
Huh, that's not that bad.
Little did I know that Jake the Snake was on a bender and couldn't make it because he was fucking whacked out of his gourd.
Yeah. And it all comes full circle because you finally get to meet Jake the Snake.
And he flipped me off.
And he flipped you off. That's even better. That's a solid replacement.
It should have been me flipping him off for bailing fucking 24 years ago, but instead he flipped me off because I took too long taking the picture. Yeah. Oh, you know what, Jake the Snake? Fuck you. And you and your Raiders fan. Your fucking Raiders suck ass.
Another one I got here, Michael Floyd Hardy. During an interview with Vince McMahon Sr. in the old WWWF,
This dated itself.
Yeah. Bruno Sammartino body slammed Buddy Rogers on the hard floor. Rogers sold it like crazy, and he had a broken back. That's old school.
That's probably right around my father's age, almost.
Mm-hmm. Most likely.
Give him the benefit of the doubt. I'd say he's in the 50s.
Yeah.
Region.
Yeah.
That was before our time, so we had to go back to actually watch that.
Yeah.
To know what was going on. I mean, that's the thing, though. The wrestling, and to say that you're a wrestling fan still.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
It's pretty big. I mean, you really find, well, if you're out there looking, you'll see some that are casuals, but to be like a diehard wrestling fan and be up to date on current wrestling, that's dedication.
Yeah, it really is.
I hope to make it that long. I hope that the product will stay, maybe not the WWE, but
just
the
wrestling in general.
Wrestling as a whole will stay how it is right now.
Yeah.
Or get better. We hope it gets better.
Yeah. I mean, already this is a great landscape of wrestling.
And it's been a fucking crazy year so far with everything that's happened.
Oh, my fault. I mean, All in itself, just the prospect of that alone.
Blew the doors open
and
opened a lot of eyes.
A couple other ones I want to touch on. Well, this one really isn't a memory, but Vic Delicious kind of chimed in and with the GIF that I posted, just said it was the filthiest, wow, I can say that word. This was the filthiest pin in all of wrestling ever.
Well, it was like a dude-to-dude 69, so yeah. If that's what he meant, then yes, he's probably spot on right.
And then you had the WCW for life, agreed. WCW was just too sweet. This is back and forth between Joe and another guy.
We don't need to read fucking... This isn't tweet story time. Tweet story time.
This made me sick. I wanted to puke. All the WCW love.
That little bit of the once in a while that I get some WCW fan to fucking comment on something, that makes you sick, you fucking degenerate. Listen to me.
Yes, I'm a degenerate.
You fucking hoity,
fucking
toity little, I only watch the WWF because I'm the pampered child. You weren't introduced to the hard times in the streets of WCW.
Anyway. We all know who won. Don't need to go into this. So, for the second question that you put out.
Yes.
When was it?
Yeah, sure.
Tuesday.
It was last night because I got called out because we didn't have a second effing topic question because the people are clamoring for it. They want to hear what us two Nimrods have to throw out there. Sometimes they're gold. Sometimes they're granite. Sometimes they're tar. I only think two of those were stones.
I was going to say, yeah, you're a little off on that last one, but...
It's the better late than never effing topping question. With the oversaturation of pay-per-views and special, quote-unquote, live events, or shows, in the next month, do you think that WWE will still be able to rein it in and make a legitimate build for a Big Four pay-per-view, which is Survivor Series, next month and a half?
Mm-hmm.
If not, how should they start to build? I'll let you take this...
Okay.
First?
This is something that we've talked about for a while now. And it just seems, and I said this going into Hell in a Cell, because it looked like they were booking and getting everything done for the Super Show more than they were for Hell in a Cell, when they had more matches already booked for the pay-per-view behind it than actual Hell in a Cell. I don't know. Again, we get why. We get the money. I don't know. It's so hard to book everything when you're smashing everything together like this.
All right.
In such a short period of time.
I think that's a good segue to the responses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one comes from Wrestling Fanatic. I think it depends if they go the whole SmackDown champs versus Raw champs route they have been. It'll be an easier way to build. Which, to be honest, I wasn't even thinking about that when I put the question out, mm-hmm. and that seemed to be the most popular answer, is it's going to end up being SmackDown versus Raw, whether it's the capacity of champs versus champs.
Or just teams.
Raw versus SmackDown team, or it's going to be some fashion of Raw versus SmackDown in every match. Might not be title for title,
mm-hmm.
but it will end up being brand versus brand. Now, if that's the case, the way that it's going to go, I think it's a cop-out. I think that if you do Raw versus SmackDown, you took the easy way out. You get new matches, yes, which is fine, which is all well and good, but you get not one title will be defended at that pay-per-view.
I see what you're saying, but
it's a big four pay-per-view.
Yes.
And it doesn't have a big four feel if it's for nothing.
But
if it's a fantasy.
All right, let me ask you this. When you think of the Survivor Series, you think of the 5-on-5 team match, correct?
Yes.
Like, that's the first thing that goes
through your mind,
right?
Survivor Series, yes.
Okay. What other pay-per-view during the year, and of course, this is only the first year that they're doing back-to-brand together doing pay-per-views. There's no other pay-per-view you can look at and say, well, we can do Raw versus SmackDown here. That would make sense in a competition aspect. This is the only one where you're doing team versus team majority of the time. This is where it makes sense. And I think this is the only time of the year, even if it is a big four, that I believe that, yes, Raw versus SmackDown. You're always, God, every single Monday and Tuesday night, all fans are doing is saying, Raw sucks, SmackDown's better. 3 months from now, SmackDown sucks, Raw's better. This is the time. This is the pay-per-view. This is the time I want to see the best of the best go up against each other.
Two things to go against that real quick.
Mm-hmm.
First, we'll start with Raw versus SmackDown. Yeah, in theory, it's cool. You get a lot of different matches, but it still means nothing because it's all predetermined. And if they want Raw to win, then Raw will win. If they SmackDown to win this imaginary point scheme, then they're going to win.
Yeah.
To go against that, I look at it kind of like a all-star game.
Okay.
If you were looking at whatever, pick a sport, mm-hmm. I was thinking baseball mm-hmm. to begin with. Baseball, because the winner has an advantage for their division. There is a specific advantage for their division, no matter what. With Raw versus SmackDown, it's another fucking numbers thing, like the top 10 list.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, Raw beat SmackDown means absolutely nothing.
But you could make it. You could do it, like, just like the major leagues did.
Then they're going to have to.
Yeah.
Then they're going to have to do something that is going to put meaning to this pay-per-view. It can't just be, oh, this team, this show versus this show. We already know who's going to win, so we'll put on a great show. I'm not saying that the matches are going to be bad. I think that they'll be really good matches. I think you can get a lot of different, hopefully different. I mean, the champions usually stay remotely the same.
Yeah.
But hopefully you can get some better matchups. I mean, you have a lot of talent on both sides, so there's nothing saying that it's not going to be a great show with match quality, but it means absolutely nothing.
All right, let me throw this out before we go on to the next one, because this is spiraling a lot.
We did a show on this, I believe, before.
I don't know. I don't remember if we did
either
or not.
That or we talked about it
just off the rails.
Without people listening.
Basically, Survivor Series is like the halfway point. Halfway from Mania, halfway to Mania.
Yes.
So, this would be, and now of course, there's way, 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 way too much shit going on to do this. But it's just something, when we were just talking about adding something to it, this is what it would do. you have a superstar shakeup, and you put draft picks on the line, and you put the first pick, the number one pick. This team gets this pick. You know how they used to do it for the draft, and they used to have during the draft show, they would have Raw. That's what you do with Survivor Series, especially if you're going to keep doing this brand split. You have Raw versus SmackDown. You have the first pick be the main event. Whatever team wins gets the first pick of that of the Superstar Shakeup. And then all the other matches leading the night, this one's worth, if it's a tag team match, this one's worth two. The singles match is worth one. You do a triple threat match, or you do a three-on-three, you know what I mean? And you just hype up that whole thing, all leading to the number one pick of, and then maybe even do it on Monday night or Tuesday night. You know what I mean? You do the whole shakeup on Monday and Tuesday night, and there you go. You got SummerSlam. Survivor Series meaning something. You have the shakeup, which needs to happen now, to be quite honest, to shake things up, but it's not going to happen.
No, because they just had one not that long
ago. I know,
ago.
I'm just saying, that's what
they
should
would,
happen.
They would need to retweak.
Yes, you should have a draft after Mania to shake things up, and then you should have a superstar shakeup. You should do this twice every year. Keep everything fresh. You really should. And that's the way of doing it to where Survivor Series means something again.
That's their whole predicament that they find themselves in all the time, is how stale everything gets because you get the same matchups. But, I mean, honestly, they don't really use the talent that they have wisely anyway.
You're right.
Only recently have they started, I mean, as a whole, meaning SmackDown and Raw, I'm going to lump them together. SmackDown's been doing it, because SmackDown was awful for a while, too.
It was, yeah.
And Raw was kind of carrying it. But now it's the roles have reversed. But, I mean, the shakeup would just mean you get another, maybe hopefully 2 months of it not being stale.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll fall right back into the same hole. Because
You're right. You're absolutely right. It's just...
Then you start getting the part-timers. They start coming back to at a certain time of year, the part-timers. Now you have a really big influx because of these three specials that you're running. You have the Evolution, you have the Super Show, and then you have Saudi.
Yeah.
So you're going to be getting your influx of part-timers coming. Some of them will stick around, then you'll insert them in some storylines,
mm-hmm.
and some will just disappear. But
yeah,
I mean, you're looking at it right now. You'll have, I mean, all of the women come back, you have the Bellas come back, then you have Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Kane, and Undertaker come back,
mm-hmm.
and you start clamoring. Once you get over to Saudi, you're going to try and bring even more back. We got Cena.
Yeah.
Possibly Austin, but, you know, he's not going to stick around. But, I mean, it's great. You get to see all these old people on a 7-hour show.
Yeah.
And then you're going to come up with a pay-per-view out of your ass? Digesting, what, 4 weeks of what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. I mean, that's what they expect you to put up with.
It's going to be crazy. I'm going to read this next one
yep.
just because I want to get another one in there. This is from Lauren Conrad. There are way too many pay-per-views, little to no build-up anymore. I think they should start doing a slow burn storylines again. Use the big four pay-per-views for the big titles. Use a smaller to showcase mid-card talent in the pay-per-views. Like, none of the big names like Styles, Joe.
I love this idea.
You'd probably lump Roman, Seth. Maybe not Dean. Ambrose could probably...
I think Ambrose could be a tweener.
Yeah. Then you can have McIntyre can be a tweener, but mm-hmm. keep Ziggler off. So you can kind of, like, Elias, Rusev, now Aiden English. You got the New Day. I mean, I like the idea a lot.
Yeah, when I read this, I thought this was one of the better ideas I read. It was definitely, I mean, I love using the big pay-per-views to showcase the big names. And then that's when you start to elevate people to get them to that.
Yeah,
that
and point. Now you're introducing more people, so now you can bring them on live TV because they saw them in these pay-per-views, not just on
main event,
or whatever the hell they're doing in your house. Saturday morning TV.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck they're doing now. I mean, now you bring all these people and you put together matches. Now you can get them on live TV. And now you don't have to have the Shield eat up an hour and a half of TV time.
Yeah, you're right.
Now people start to get invested in everybody. And then you'll get the big four pay-per-views where you'll get an extended card with some of the mid-card guys. And then you'll get the big title matches. You'll be able to build these title matches longer and have more things happen on TV to keep people guessing.
Yeah, no, like I said, it all makes sense. It's a really, really good idea.
And it's what you kind of have to, if you're still trying to do that big on entertainment, like the whole reality aspect of the TV, but you need to mix in the wrestling. You need the wrestling now because you have the talent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now you'll get a little bit of everything.
Yes.
For those 3 fucking hours that you get on TV. But I really did. I thought that was a really good answer. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. I completely agree with you. So another point. I mean, that I think almost everybody's talking about, and that is the Yes Kicks heard around the world, and that's Brie Bella
and felt on one very specific face.
Yes. Yes, kicking twice. Liv Morgan, and I've watched this now at least 5-6 times.
Yeah,
I've watched it
5 or 6 when it came out. I watched it probably a good 4 in a row.
Now I've heard some apologists say, "Oh well, Liv had her head down." No bullshit.
No,
she catches her high the first kick, and then Liv's head goes down.
Yeah,
and that's when
she
kicks. Yes, and then
she
starts
kicks her bleeding.
In the head. Yes, it's just ugly. It's obviously, Brie has never been a dangerous worker, but I think the rust, the ring rust that she has had, and obviously has affected her. Because now, this is the second or third time where she's severely fucked up. I mean, this time now she's hurt someone else. First time she almost hurt herself with the suicide dive. Now, with these kicks, they're horrible. They're bad.
All right, I'm going to go into a little spiel.
Let's do this.
Let me get a little sippy sip of water. I got a little parched.
You sound a little parched, other than your nasal.
My nasal cavities are sticking together as we speak. Yeah. But now, if you look on both ends, now you'll have the one end of the people that actually do this for a living.
You should update your Android cleaner now, or your phone might be slowed down, and your battery may discharge as quickly.
Come on, man.
It's good to know.
Professional.
Sorry.
Come on, man. We're trying to fucking host a very professional fucking sounding podcast right now, and you got a fucking LG cleaner or whatever the fuck that was?
Yeah, it just came out of nowhere. I don't know where she came from.
Well, shut her the fuck up.
I did. Go right ahead. All sorry right. to interrupt, and it came up again. What is going on? Stop.
This is how we do things. Ladies and gentlemen, this is us. If the smallest possible thing that can deter us and send us off the rails, it's going to happen. We were sticking pretty close to script, even though there wasn't a script.
There wasn't no script. Don't act like there was.
But we had a flow, and then you got fucking this thing.
This robot thing talking to us.
Yeah, about how to clean your Adobe system. You don't even have an Adobe system.
What's an Adobe system?
I don't know. But it's telling you to fucking clean it. Maybe if you cleaned it once in a while, we wouldn't have this problem with the fucking show.
Anyway. Sorry for the interruption.
Yeah, you throw the phone fucking down.
Go ahead.
Anyway, now you have the one side of the people that do it for a living, the people that have that know what it's like to be in the ring and for things to happen and for things to go wrong. Now, they are the ones that have come to the aid of Brie Bella. People such as Corey Graves, who has had an injury end his career from an accident. You got people like Tyson Kidd, who were injured, even go date back to Stone Cold and Owen Hart when they did the inverted pile driver.
Yep.
I mean, accidents do happen. Yes, I believe that wholeheartedly that is an accident. Yep. But I think what we're seeing here is that we're giving Brie Bella a little bit too much credit. She was never that good.
You're right.
She was never going to light the world on fire. She might be a good athlete, yes. But she's not an incredible wrestler. She's not great in the ring. So for her to pull off something that her husband, an extraordinarily controlled wrestler, can do, maybe we rethink that. I know it's the whole gimmick, like, oh, she's going to do Daniel Bryan's moves. Maybe pick something that is a little less risk, like diving through the ropes or kicking people, because she's not really, maybe she's not that coordinated.
Well, and not only that, if you watch when she's doing it, she's talking shit to the rest of the Riot Squad. She looks up and looks to the corner and then continues to kick. How about you concentrate on what you're doing? I mean, I understand it's part of the match and it's part of entertaining. But look, you gotta do this right. And obviously, when you're doing that and you're doing it the way she did it, you're going to screw up like that if you aren't used to doing it or don't do it the right way.
I agree with that. If you watch the video up close, you'll see everyone in the crowd doing yes, even Natty and Nikki doing the yes chants. And then she catches her once, and you see them try almost go up, and then they put their arms back down. Yeah. Like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yep. And then after that, I mean, congratulations to Liv Morgan for being a trooper and going through that. But the way that Brie then pins her, pulls her up, and then yanks her by the neck.
Yanks her by the neck, yes.
And pulls her up. I mean, it was just, she's been scrutinized already. She's under a very, she's a Bella.
Yeah.
And she's been put in high profile right off jump. So she's under a microscope as it is. Now, she's even, now they're asking for her head. The fans, that's the other side. The fans that are, oh, get her off TV. She's not worth it. I mean, that's why the wrestlers have come to her aid, because people are ready to tar and feather her.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder if it would be different, and I think I know the answer without even asking it, if this was someone like Seth Rollins, or if this was a Finn Balor, if this was, I don't know, Braun Strowman, and they were to accidentally hurt someone. Like, you've seen Jinder Mahal almost knock out Finn Balor.
Yes.
Switches brands and then becomes the champion.
Well, I mean, Seth Rollins did do it. Seth Rollins broke Cena's nose.
Seth Rollins dislocated Balor's shoulder.
Yeah.
So there,
and he caught shit from a lot of wrestlers, including that old curmudgeon Bret Hart.
Well,
he says he's a dangerous worker.
He caught shit from the wrestlers.
Yes.
And didn't catch shit
from the fans,
from as many of the fans. Yes. But Brie Bella goes under the same microscope, and she gets destroyed by the fans.
Yes.
So, I mean, you're looking at, okay, well, this guy's a phenomenal, entertaining wrestler. He messed up, so we're going to give him a pass. Brie Bella busts up Liv's face. Get her out of here. Don't ever let her come back.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if it was maybe just a little bit more of, okay, we don't like this person to begin with, and just really rams it home.
Yeah, I think that has something to do with it, absolutely.
It's like Strowman chokeslams someone and accidentally fucking gives him a concussion from bouncing him off the fucking mat too hard.
Yeah, people are not going to say anything.
People are going to be like, oh, shit.
Yeah. And then forgive him and say, well, it happens.
Or grappling hook someone's fucking nostril, really fish hook the shit out of them. Well, it was entertaining. Maybe he shouldn't be handling a fucking weapon from the 1940s.
Yeah, I mean, a part of me feels bad for Brie, because like you said, and even Bubba Ray said, I saw him put out a tweet about it as well, and that I think he said only one of his many, many, many injuries were by another person, and he never held a grudge or anything like that, because that's what comes with the business. That's what
you know
is.
That going in there.
Yes,
like exactly. You know that something could go wrong. Well, look at what you're doing, and at the level that you're doing it. And
that goes to the football players doing the same thing. Everyone wants to sue the NFL, but you knew what kind of game you were getting into when you play football, just like you know what you're going to do when you're getting into wrestling. Look at Mick Foley. You know what I mean? He knew it. He knew he was going to pay for that when he was older, but at that time, he wanted to make money and wanted to, you know what I mean, get
this,
over.
This was his dream.
Exactly. So
and you'll do some pretty crazy fucking things to fulfill your dream if you're a professional wrestler.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing I want to talk about, and I think the funny thing is, they started to touch on it right away on the commentary, and I thought it before they even said it when I was looking at them, is the Dean Ambrose very pissed off kind of.
He's a different type of pissed off. He came back pissed off at everybody. He just wanted to destroy everyone except for his boys.
Yeah.
This is a different type of pissed off. This is a jealousy, enraged, pissed off.
When they were standing in the ring and they're holding their titles, in my head I'm going, man, they're holding their titles and Dean's standing there with nothing. It just doesn't look right. And then they start touching on it a little bit. It
doesn't look right because it's not supposed to look right. Because the two top dogs, quote unquote, of the Shield and of Raw have the two main titles.
Yes. And there's no other title for Dean to have.
It's not like the Shield of yore.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where they all had titles. They were all really happy. Dean was the leader. It's not like it was.
No.
Dean comes back from an injury and everyone's already moved on.
Yes.
So what is he going to do about it? Is he going to really tuck his tail between his legs and he's just going to deal with it? Or is he going to check into the asylum a little early and start destroying some motherfuckers?
I love how Ziggler pointed out about how quick Rollins was ready to replace him with Jason Jordan. I love that. I think it was spot on. I don't know if it was him saying it or wrote it, whatever.
Whoever wrote it. We'll give credit to the writers this time. I know you're not going to want to. Oh, they didn't write it. I guarantee you those fucking writers didn't write it. That came straight from fucking Ziggler's mouth. Seth wrote it.
But yeah,
Seth didn't write shit. He don't even write his own shit.
I thought that was
corny-ass fucking.
That was spot on. I thought that was great. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I thought as he's standing behind them and they're looking at all three of them, I thought, there it is. He's turning right now. Because he was standing back there like Seth did. You know what I mean? He was back a little
bit. And that was very well done by
them.
Very
well.
Because they put out a tweet after they won the match. Were you expecting something else to happen?
Yeah. Yes.
So they know exactly what they're doing. And fucking kudos.
Yes.
For once, that you knew exactly what you're doing. You executed it very well. You had everyone, all the smarks or whatever the fuck you want to call them, everyone up in arms like, ooh, this looks like. And I even put out a joking tweet saying, ooh, fresh shape up.
Yep.
Nice line to the beard. That's a heel turn.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yep.
They actually knew what they were doing. They're not going to turn them heel before three super fucking, or two super shows.
Yes. And then possibly
being on a team for Survivor Series, though, if you're paired up with Ziggler and McIntyre, now things get a little interesting because there's your five.
Yes.
Now you're going to have Baron Corbin afraid of his job and he's got to put together the best team. You guys have to do me a favor. You have to coincide for one night or Stephanie's going to have my ass and Kurt Angle's going to come back in. You guys got to just coincide for one night. Okay, Baron, we got you. Okay, Corby Corbs. Okay, we got your back this time. We'll coincide. We'll beat the shit out of SmackDown for you.
Yeah.
Now, here's the underlining story. Now, fucking Dean Ambrose has had his head filled with Dolph Ziggler for the past. Now, we got a month and a half of build, secret build. He hasn't turned yet. Now, they're all on a team. You would think, oh, now we already know. Now we know that Dean's going to turn. What if he doesn't?
Yeah.
What? I mean.
What if just that? This is just his character. It's the way he looks all the time.
But they build it up for something like he's going to turn. You think, every time that something happens, you're thinking he's going to turn.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you put him in a high-stakes match. And
what does that do to every fan watching Monday Night Raw? It makes you look for the Shield every time they're coming out.
Yes.
So
it puts a different aspect and a different tweak on the Shield. Because you didn't suspect Rollins to turn.
No.
There was not... Excuse me. There was not many that were like, oh, Rollins is going to turn, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
He turned. You weren't surprised, but he turned, and it was kind of a surprise. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, because you didn't, well, no, Rollins was not the one you expected to turn. It was always, at that point,
Ambrose.
It was always Dean, because he was always just out there. You could see that coming. You didn't see Rollins turning out of all of them, because he was the quiet one. He was very quiet, and... You know what I mean? You didn't see that, and then all of a sudden,
he was the worker of them.
Yeah. So, I mean...
And people started to catch on, like, holy shit, this guy's really good. Mm-hmm. This guy's the backbone of the Shield.
Yes. Yeah. So,
now that's how you break away from your overvoiced counterparts. Mm-hmm. So, now you have the same thing playing out now. It's just that Dean Ambrose is now the casted shadow.
Yes. Yeah, I love what they're actually, and I'm not a big Shield fan. I never was a big Shield fan, but I really like what they're doing with Dean, and I would love for it to be a completely giant swerve, and them keep doing this and keep doing this, and then Roman turns. You know what I mean? Just something you don't see coming.
And I think that's the way that they actually should.
Mm-hmm.
Play it.
Yeah.
Is that Dean's gonna turn. Then you get all the people like, why they've forgotten that we wanted Roman to turn.
Yes.
Why isn't Dean turning yet?
Yeah.
Oh shit, we forgot about Roman. He's just fucking been holding the title and doing whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Their eyes are off Roman. It's all focused on Dean.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'd be the perfect way of doing it.
Roman turns and takes Authors of Pain with him. And that's like the whole thing. Now Maverick has to. Now he's got the Samoan dynasty on. Or no, wait, they're not Samoan.
Yeah, they're
Iranian.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what they are. I know
Samoan, they're not Samoan. Yeah. I'm gonna correct myself and say, but anyway, they would make a pretty badass faction.
They really would.
The Bulletproof Vest Crew. They already got the vest for it.
Yeah.
Why not? Just put the stupid logo on it. You guys are all vesties.
You're so corny.
Bang, 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 bang.
So corny. I just want to apologize for that because he's going to use that all the time now.
No, I'm not. That's a one and done. That was just a zinger.
Yeah, okay. We'll see about that.
That was a curveball.
Woo. So, let's move on to SmackDown. And I think the opening segment of SmackDown with Truth TV, I think the thing that really got me with this whole segment was Daniel Bryan laughing at Truth and how stupid and how funny the segment was. And I feel like Bryan had no idea going out there what Truth was going to say and was legitimately laughing, and he got him.
To play to that, when Miz went into the back to talk to Paige and then came back out, had to bite. He was holding. You could tell he was doing the bite.
Because
he walks out and looks, and he does like a half-second smirk.
Yes.
And then has to do the teeth bite all the way down the ring because he's like, what the fuck is going on? He didn't even come out to his music. He came out to the fucking...
To the dance party.
To the dance party.
Yes. Yeah, I thought it was
That was well done. And I was saying that to my wife. I was like, he's trying not to laugh. She's like, what?
I said,
he looks like he's trying not... That's my face when I'm trying...
And,
like,
and
I'm
he wasn't looking at the ring. Because he knew if he looked at the ring, he was going to laugh, which is why he kept looking into the crowd.
Yeah.
Because it was just so funny.
That's exactly what you do when you're trying like to be really, really serious. Like, you're trying to yell at someone, but they're doing something stupid, and you're just like... Oh.
Yeah,
and you're trying not to smile. You're trying to hold that competitive edge.
Yep. Yeah, I think that
and
whole...
He did well, but he definitely was trying to laugh.
Yeah, the whole thing was well done. Very, very funny.
I think R-Truth has breathed new life into the main event scene. Not him as a main eventer, but just his shenanigans throughout all of SmackDown. I think that's been a breath of fresh air.
And it's amazing how well and easily the turn went for Carmella. From Mella is money to, I mean, completely different hair color and immediately over. Immediately.
Dye your hair a purple color? That's a face turn.
And
you get a fresh shape up? That's a heel
yep,
turn.
Heel turn. So, I mean, I like the direction that Carmella is going in. I really could care less about the Mixed Mag Challenge.
It doesn't have the same pizzazz as last year.
Yeah, I mean, no, I didn't even really get into it a lot last year.
Me neither. I don't have Facebook, so.
I would love... Yeah, I know you don't. I would love to know what the actual numbers are and what people actually care.
There's a lot of people that usually tweet it.
Yeah.
So there are people watching it, but I'm sure the numbers aren't... I mean, they can't be...
The best part to me is, like, the interaction between the wrestlers during the match.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yes. Like, I mean,
Which is what they do at
a live event. You know what I mean? It's that. But... You're actually hearing it now. But, I mean, that's the only really good thing I get out of it. Other than that, it doesn't interest me at all. It has nothing to do because a woman's involved or anything like that. It's just, eh. It just...
You know what it is. It is what it is. There's nothing really... There's no real significance to it.
Like, yeah, like you said, there's nothing... There's no end game. There's nothing to look forward to.
No, it's
there's
just
no,
something fun. It's just something fun to do after SmackDown to drag out a little bit more time because we need more content. We cannot have enough content. I want fucking 3 shows a week to span from the hours of 2 hours to 5 hours. 3 shows a week. I want 3 pay-per-views a month. I want them all to be 5.5 hours long, except for the last one of the month. I want it to be 7.5 hours long. I need more fucking content. I need more specials afterwards. I need them to start interviewing people in the back and putting it up there. I need more content. Give me a fucking half-hour interview with Mojo Rawley, please. I need it. I can't get enough.
That sounds like Japanese water torture. The half-hour interview with Mojo Rawley.
If he stays hyped the whole time,
Jesus Christ.
He's definitely running through a fucking wall like the Juggernaut.
So
you ain't fucking hype. The fucking Juggernaut. Just fucking ran through fucking 6 walls. He's the Hypernaut.
When I was watching SmackDown, I put a tweet out there.
You did?
I wanted to see...
I bit my tongue. I hurt a little bit.
Just now?
Throwing it out there.
Nice.
Yeah, making sound effects.
Thanks. Good to know. Just to see what everyone else thought, because I really feel like Sheamus and Cesaro have run their course.
They went from
creatively is my caveat.
To creatively. Creatively,
not
to the Leitners.
Not in the ring, because they're great in the ring, but they're just as a team, they've done all together they are going to do.
Well, if you look at where they started out as rivals. They did the old best of seven series. They put on,
which was a great
program. Great story, and great matches. They team them up, they win the fucking titles, and then they go on this long run of actually forming into a team,
which was a great program as well.
It's pretty much it's done. They did they won the titles what, 3 or 4 times,
something like that. Yeah,
they did everything that they, and they became a really great team. But we know that Sheamus is good by himself, and we know Cesaro is good by himself. But Cesaro hasn't had the same fate as Sheamus.
Yeah, or chance, opportunity.
And that's what people are now looking forward to. Okay, they've done it all. Can we split them up now, put them on different shows, or let them feud a little bit, break them, split them, and let Cesaro get that push?
Yeah.
Everyone wants the teams that have been together forever for that one breakout person that hasn't gotten the chance to see what they got. They got it with Jeff Hardy. Back in the day, you got it with Edge. I mean, you get the good tag teams, split them, and you see what they can do. The problem is that if they split them, you know that Sheamus would probably go on to have the more success.
Yes. Yeah, well, because he's proven already.
They invested early on in Cesaro when he was Antonio Cesaro, and he won the United States title like right away. Sounds familiar, because that's exactly what Rusev did, too. They have the big hopes for these big, brutin' foreign guys. Then they just fizzle out, because they don't know what else to do with them. Because they're not overly great on the mic. They need some sort of mouthpiece. They need someone with them to help them along. So they think. They don't think that just pure wrestling will get them there. Cesaro's proven to be pretty comical. Rusev's also proven to be very comical, too. People can get behind them. They're just waiting to be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, and the funny thing is, when I put that out, someone immediately got back and said, well, what about the New Day? They need to be gone. And I think, out of everybody, the New Day has done everything in their power to reinvent themselves as far as gimmick goes every single time. Every single time they start to get a little tiny bit stale.
They change out the breakfast food.
Exactly, yeah. But I mean, they've gone from so much from the gospel where they started out to where they are now. Yes, it's still the same type concept, but they've gone such a far distance from where they were.
They've cemented themselves as a great team that they could survive by themselves if given the time and the talent, but they're all doing it together.
Yeah.
Constantly. And they've proven that they don't need to be split up. There's nothing really stale about them. Because they're three. So they could be a tag team, they could be one singles, they can basically do the whole Freebird fucking rule thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I like that rule with them, because it fits perfectly for them.
The teams that shouldn't break up or really couldn't, the Usos.
Yeah.
They're a tag team through and through.
Yes.
The New Day are on that cusp of should not be broken up. That was pretty much it. That's where my list ends. Authors of Pain.
On SmackDown.
Authors of Pain. People that are like pure tag team that really, you're not going to get one or the other. Really.
I think the Revival should be in there too.
Yeah.
But you know what's funny though? With that, a couple years ago, no one ever would have said DIY should split up.
I think they would have.
Really?
Yeah. They were big singles in the indies.
But they were so good together. Let me put it this way. You wouldn't have broken them up before the main card. You would have at least brought them up as a tag team for the main card.
Well, here's the thing. You could always break them up, and they would normally start out in a feud with each other. But the sustained longevity of being a singles competitor, I don't think that does well for the Usos. Or Authors of Pain, or the Revival. Like, they'll feud with each other, but then they'll fizzle out, or one will elevate more than the other. And they'll eventually become a tag team again.
Yeah.
DIY, that was a different scenario. Mm-hmm. That was in the hands of Triple H, and you had two really good... You saw two really good singles competitors in the Cruiserweight Classic.
yeah.
when they faced each other.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of figured at that point, okay, well, these guys could do it themselves on their own.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about a night in Milwaukee.
One night in Milwaukee when the world's your oyster.
I don't think that's how that song goes.
Should I sing it like Mike Tyson?
No, please don't.
Bangkok, we in the city, when the city don't know, where the city is the friend. The creme de la creme.
Okay. Anyway,
go ahead.
You got my I'm lost.
I'm waiting for you, Sonny Boy.
I got Mike Tyson, just, I can't do it. You completely threw me off, 100%.
I usually get him around the bewitching hour.
So, Rusev, that's what I was talking about.
One night in Milwaukee.
Yeah, so this whole thing with Aiden English has gotten a lot more interesting very, very quickly. You have Rusev coming out, wanting to get answers, and instead, Aiden comes out, plays a couple video packages, and then says, well, why didn't you tell him what happened that one night in Milwaukee?
Well, who would have thought that Aiden English was going to be the star in this,
yes.
in this feud?
Yes.
And who's coming up big and huge this time mm-hmm. in the heel role.
Yeah.
Like... It's, I don't know, I like it, first off.
Yeah.
At first, I didn't like that they split them up. I wanted them to actually win something together, but here you go. You split up a team, one will elevate. Mm-hmm. They'll start out feuding with each other, and one will elevate.
Yeah, I can't wait to...
I still think it would be Rusev, because I don't know, but Aiden English has proven that he can go, too.
Yeah, he's...
And he's got really good at his character development, from the vaudevillain to... the lackey now to his own person.
Yes. Yeah, I think he's really elevated himself. And
there's too many days on SmackDown. You got the New Day, you got Lana Day, you got Rusev Day, and now you got Aiden Day.
Yes.
What they make up? I mean, I get it. It's Aiden Day. Okay, now it's a New Day. Now it's Lana Day. Oh, now it's a New Day. And now it's Rusev Day. Oh, it's New Day again. We'll just recycle now. Who the hell else is going to get a day on that show? You got four. You got three more days of the week. Who else is getting a day?
I don't know.
Answer me, damn it.
I have no idea. I'm trying to think of one up. I can't. I just can't. There's nothing there. Maybe Corey Graves. He's the only one I could see.
Having a day?
Yeah. Yeah. I think just because everyone else has a day, so he feels like he probably should.
No.
No?
Day of truth.
Dave. Now, see, that obviously could
work. The day of truth. He's going to be your next day. And then you're going to get someone else. The yes day?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I like the day of truth. Like yeah. That I like a lot.
If you're gonna keep with the day, everyone gets their fucking day.
Yeah.
Shane O'Mac day, Mac day, Mac Daddy day, Show Me the Money day. Nah, he don't None get his own, no. He doesn't get his own fucking day.
No.
Who does he think he is?
No. Another like misguided here. Okay, here's a perfect example of SmackDown not delivering when everyone thinks SmackDown is perfection, and this is this Nakamura, Ty Dillinger. Randy Orton interfering, beating up Ty, still have nothing for the United States champion. And wasting a guy who turned out to be a very, very good heel and champion in that matter. And just him just sitting in the back and doing these one-off matches with no direction whatsoever. And what is SmackDown doing with him? If this was Raw, they'd be persecuting Monday Night Raw for not doing this, and yet
they kind of are.
I mean, they need to.
Rollins
more.
Isn't defending. They got the two titles tied up.
Yeah, but at least Rollins is in the storyline, some in a main storyline. Nakamura's in nothing.
Comes out for 5 minutes, and yeah. That's about it.
And not only that, he's coming out, he's doing these matches. Then on the pay per view, he's even on the pay per view. You're having the other guys be on the pay per view, worth nothing. Believe me, don't get me wrong. I love Orton versus Hardy, but. You know what I mean? Where's the United States champion?
It's always been the bastard championship because it's not a Vince championship.
True. Yeah.
That's why the big gold belt doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's always been that way. And until Cena had it. Cena breathed life back into it. So right now, they have it on Nakamura. What I think that they're waiting for is for someone in the mid-card to come and take it from them.
Yeah.
Which probably should have been Rusev and then automatically turned to Andrade. I think that's just the transition. Andrade will find a way to hold that title, but they're not going to do the heel versus heel. So I think someone's got to take it from Nakamura. They're just waiting for it to happen. And then Andrade's going to.
I mean, with that, actually, I'm going to go complete opposite, and I'm just going to contradict what I just said. I'm hearing with Randy Orton and with Jeff Hardy, them doing a Hardy versus Orton at the Hardy compound. And I don't see it. I heard rumors of it, but
I think it's going to be another flop, but I think the...
Well, the first one wasn't a flop.
Matt at the Hardy compound is different, but Randy Orton is... This is going to be more like the Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know. I hope it's not a true rumor.
Yeah.
It's one of those false rumors that you made up in your fucking head.
I don't know. I think it'd be... I don't know. I think they can make it entertaining. I think especially if you're going to see... Well, of course he's going to be involved. It's at the Hardy compound. You really think you're not going to see broken Matt Hardy?
Okay.
And you're going to see Senior Benjamin.
You sold me. Okay, yeah. You sold me.
You're going to see the mower of lawns. You're going to see the dilapidated boat. You're going to see it all.
Wow. Yes. Brother Nero, I knew you'd come.
It would be more entertaining than people would imagine. I don't know. I was just throwing you out there to see what you would think.
Legend Killer Snake Man, I knew you'd come.
That's actually perfect. So, to end this, I want to talk about the...
We will delete every single one of you. Delete!
Samoa Joe visiting AJ Styles' house, in quotations.
You don't think that was his real house?
I don't think that AJ Styles is going to have Styles written on his mailbox.
No?
Just a guess. But, I don't know.
Man, they fooled me. Got me good. So he was just fucking at some random dude's
house. Some random person's house. You know what I mean?
Hey, are you home? Go away. Leave me alone.
The concept was good.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's just...
Did they get to the point of where they took it too far?
No.
Or they took it in a weird direction?
I mean, they took it in a weird direction, but I don't think it was too far. I just think it was... I don't know. It could have been done a little bit better, maybe, is what I'm getting at.
There's only a few, like... show or matches for this super show that could actually like get me generated a little bit of interest. That's one of them.
And Miz Bryan.
The Miz Bryan.
Yeah.
The only thing where like stipulations actually mean something. Everything else is like a fun match.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Cruiserweight 205 live match. That's going to be good. That's got stipulations to it. But really, there's only a few matches. You got Becky and Charlotte again.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much it. That's like actual. Generate interest of legitimate storylines that could carry over.
Yeah, you're right.
Who the hell knows with Styles and Joe? You would think that Styles wins, that's over. Now they need someone else. Well, now they got someone else, the number one contender.
Yeah, which...
Who knows what the hell's going to happen now? We got so much shit going on. If you're still buckled up from last week, continue to buckle up because it's going to get bumpier and bumpier as we get closer to these fucking crazy-ass special live shows, these big old house shows down under. And you got one over in the Saudi, and then you got one in New York with the Women's Evolution, Revolution, Constitution. I was going to say something else
that rhymes
with it, but I'm not going to.
I think you're good.
Good.
So, before we wrap it up, we do want to promote another show. And that's because we will be on another show next week for the Super Showdown preview show. We will be on the Nuclear Heat podcast.
So it's time for an invasion. Yes. This is our first time jumping ship to another show.
That's right.
We're not used to this.
No. So we will be guests on their podcast, just like they were guests 2 weeks ago on ours.
Do they realize what they've done?
I don't think they have. Although, after being on our show, I think they might have just a little bit of an idea.
No, they get to hold us hostage this time.
That's a good point.
We get to start making up nonsense. We're good at that.
Yeah, we're very good at that. Well, you're better than I am, but...
I'm full of nonsense.
That's for damn sure. But yeah, so next week we will be tweeting it out and letting you know when exactly it's going to be. And yours truly will be previewing the Super Showdown. And all things, all matches, our predictions, and everything like that over on the Nuclear Heat podcast. So until next week, we hope you enjoyed the show, and look for us at 215 on Twitter and on Nuclear Heat Podcast next week. So until then, we thank you and hope you enjoyed the show.
Later.